I know it's reading week, so the crowd is a little bit sparse, so I'm probably going to be the loudest person here and probably the one with the most energy. But grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father. Amen. And we know that grace is what we receive from God that we do not deserve. Mercy is what we don't receive from God that we do deserve. And as followers of Jesus Christ, peace is knowing this. I want to focus on Paul's letter to Timothy. You know, Timothy was a guy like many of our students, a pastor in waiting, a pastor in training, someone who is learning. I want to focus really on just a few verses from the text that Sam read just a moment ago. And the first thing I want to focus on is verse 3. Paul charges Timothy to share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. You know, nobody likes to suffer. You know, when I pastored a church in Michigan, I often would encounter people who would say, "Boy, Pastor, it must be great being on staff. You know, it must be just a wonderful place to be where, you know, all of you love one another, all of you get along all the time, the work of the Lord is doing great things through you, this got to be just great." And I said, "Yeah, you know, normally we sit around all day in a circle holding hands and singing Kumbaya." A wise man, in fact, a mentor of mine, a pastor friend of mine, said to me one time, "John, the work of the Lord is work, and sometimes the work of the Lord is messy. And sometimes, as a pastor, as a missionary, as a deaconess, you will be in messy work." I pastored a large church, about 700-800 people on a weekend. I had a fairly good-sized staff. And in my 15 years there, I had to ask three people to leave our staff. Two of them, when they left, came in to thank me. That they said, "You know, thank you for letting me work here. I really learned a lot from you. I'm going to stay as part of your congregation because I just love it here." But one guy, and this was a budget consideration, the first two were let go because they just weren't doing the job. But about 10 years ago, we had in this country something called the Great Recession. Let me tell you something, there is nothing great about it. And being in a suburb of Detroit where everybody's connected some way, some form, some shape, somehow to the automobile industry, a lot of our people lost their jobs. And I'm not talking people that made a little bit of money. I'm talking about people who made well into the six figures. And they were tithers. And when you lose 10 or 20 people who give to the church between $10,000 and $40,000 a year, you lose a lot of income. And you have to act accordingly. So for 6 months, I worked with our board of elders, I worked with our church council, I worked with our staff, and what can we do? And ultimately, we came to the decision that we needed to let an assistant custodian go for budgetary reasons. You would have thought that I announced to the congregation, "Okay, let's all get on our knees and pray to Allah." The response I got was visceral. I got nasty letters. Here's a tip. When you receive a letter from somebody, always look at the envelope and make sure in this side over here that there's a return address. If not, open the letter. Look to see if it's signed. If it's not, shred it. There's not a thing you can do about an anonymous letter, and I got several. See, endure this suffering, because you know who you're serving. And Paul, very, very wisely, with his practical information, goes right on to share with Timothy in verse 3, "No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." Remember when you're a deaconess, remember when you're a missionary, remember when you're a pastor who you serve. Not a week went by when I served this wonderful congregation where I did not get a telephone call from somebody that said, "You know, Pastor, on Sunday it was too cold in the church." And a day later I'd get a call from somebody, "You know, Pastor, on Sunday it was too hot in the church." And pretty soon you begin to think your job is to please people. No. It is not. You are to remember who called you into ministry. If you are a student here, you have been called by God to be here at this time and this very place. What's that saying that somebody invented not long ago? Concordia Seminary is a good place to be? It is, and you've been called here, and you will be called from here. And your role as pastor, as deaconess, as missionary is not try to please everybody. Because you've been called by a place that's filled with sinners. And the person who leads this place filled with sinners is themselves a sinner. You are to remember who called you. Second example Paul uses as practicality is an athlete. In verse 5, Paul writes, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. According to the rules. You know, in the Greek games, an athlete had to train for 10 months and then sign an oath that he did. Because if he didn't, he brought down the caliber or the quality of the games. And so Paul is saying here, as an athlete, be self-disciplined. Really critical in the parish. Really critical in the mission field. Really critical in hospital rooms and hospice rooms and funeral homes. Very critical that you have a right relationship with God that begins with your daily devotion of Him and with Him. I am an early morning person. I'm awake every morning by anywhere between 4:15 and 4:15. The best time of the day for me is at 30 minutes all alone with a cup of coffee and the lights dimmed and the dog laying by my side with my Bible open reading and then spending 20 to 25 minutes in prayer. Because if I'm not right in my relationship with God, how can I minister to those that God has called me to minister to? One thing I learned as well, so many times we're so busy, we're so wrapped up in ourselves, we're so wrapped up in the work that we have to do and the places we have to be and the people we've got to see that we finish our prayer by saying, in Jesus' name, amen, and off to the shower. What I learned was when I conclude my prayer would be to sit in total silence and listen for God to speak. Third example Paul uses is that of a farmer. He says writes in verse 6, it is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. What Paul is saying there very simply is that if you're working as a farmer, you go ahead, take whatever you want from the crop that you've raised. But he's also saying to those of us who are in ministry, we deserve fair remuneration from our congregation, from those that we serve. You deserve to be paid. Because if you are a soldier for Christ, if you are an athlete who continues to train, and you're devoted to Christ and you remember who called you, remember who sent you to this place at this time, you will work real hard. The work of the Lord is work. I encourage all of you to be in those daily devotions. I know with schoolwork and papers and tests and those kinds of things that students have to do with your field education and campus work, I know that can distract you, but you can only be the person God called you to be when you're right with Him. So be it. Amen. Please stand.